This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
This African Women Impact Fund conversation is brought by Visa. And of course, on that note, let's have a conversation with Delphine Govender, co-founder, as well as a chief investment officer there of Perpetua Investment Managers. Just really about all of this, especially when it comes to overcoming barriers faced by women fund managers. Thank you so much, Delphine, for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Thank you, Faith. It's great to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about your personal entrepreneurial journey in fund management. When did it start? And also, what made you choose that particular direction? And perhaps even spend just a little bit of time, Delphine, even explaining what does it involve being a fund manager?
Absolutely. So, Faith, actually, my entrepreneurial journey in fund management started just with a career in fund management. And so I joined the investment industry in South Africa over 24 years ago now as a newly qualified CA. At the tender age of 24, and typically the journey is to start as what's called an investment analyst. And really, why that job? Why did I not stay perhaps in the accounting profession? And I think I was always really motivated by a sense of using those financial and other skills that one gains, or my own kind of intrinsic interests and a desire for, you know, ongoing professional and intellectual growth in a way that can contribute to the betterment of others. And when we look at the savings industry, which is really what the investment industry is about, I can think of no other industry that can directly lead to the direct improvement of the quality of one's life. Because if you can grow an individual's hard-earned savings, they can, you know, live better, retire better, and it really has that direct impact. And so the job of investing is really to be taking, you know, hard-earned money that has been entrusted with you, looking at the financial goals and needs of the individual, which could be a member in a large pension fund. It could be an individual at retirement. It really could be a VAS. It could be a young person looking to save for some short-term goal. And then really investing that money in a variety of different asset classes, whether it be shares, bonds, etc., property, to try and achieve that return over the desired period.
In terms of just barriers that you faced, Delphine, especially as a woman fund manager, can you just talk us through some of those realities that are involved in being a woman fund manager or fund manager that happens to be a woman?
Sure. I think, well, firstly, the irony of the job, as I've explained, is that it really anyone can do it. So it's not one of those jobs which says that, you know, you require specific physical skill or something that's better suited to men at all. And so there's an irony because one wonders why it doesn't attract more women. And I think it's really one of those, you know, historic realities about an industry which women were not, you know, attracted to. I think there's perhaps bad marketing over time, and that as you think of the stock market, you think of those kind of, you know, an industry which is supposed to have, you know, high testosterone, an industry that is all about, you know, a killer instinct, almost success at all costs, putting up another person down, that almost, you know, excessive, strong winning instinct. But actually, and so as a result, women weren't attracted to it, and then women didn't join it, and then they definitely didn't stay because the system didn't expect women. It wasn't set up to include women. And then therein sets in quite a lot of institutionalized bias about whether women will last when they have children. And then more recently, I'd say women-led businesses, now that women have joined and stayed in, and yet they are still very much in the minority. Women-led fund management businesses, for some reason, are perceived by clients or the industry to be more risky.
Really?
I have no idea why. Yes. I think it's because it comes back to the fact that people believe that women, when they have families, are going to be distracted. So they'd rather be, you know, surrounded by men who are likely to be more stable in their careers. Which, of course, is completely, you know, untrue and a false belief.
Yeah, you know, as you're speaking about this, Delphine, it just shows us that we still have a long way to go to dismantle, right, these constructs that were created even by a male-dominated environment in back then, way back then, that somehow as society we've allowed to continue. But when programs, for example, such as the African Women Impact Fund come along, how do they assist in being able to speak about breaking down some of these barriers?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think they're absolutely critical because the first thing they do is they acknowledge and understand that barriers exist. It's, you know, and that's perhaps one of the most important things. It's not as though the outcome that we see today is because women didn't bother joining the industry or didn't bother staying in, or they didn't have the skills, the competence, because they have all of the above. It's really that there's something systemic. So that acknowledgement is critical. And then more importantly, it says, okay, we see that there's clearly a problem in the system. And the second thing is, let's be intentional about setting an objective or a plan to directly address the problem. And in that intentionality and in that, you know, specific plan, let's be relevant to what is actually going to address the need and be courageous, be bold, put something out there that will actually look to move the needle. So I think, you know, programs like this, the African Women Impact Fund, are absolutely essential, and let's hope there are many more.
Yeah, you know, looking at even how it needs to be a collective responsibility, right? Because the dismantling does not happen without a collaborative effort. And women within spaces of various corporate sectors, even financial institutions, that can come on board and say, actually, hang on a second, this is what we can do to actually eradicate just some of the wrongs that have been written on our behalf. So how important is it for the likes of, for example, Visa and Standard Bank to be involved in addressing the very same challenges?
Yeah, I think absolutely fundamental, because you've hit the nail on the head. None of these, you know, broad systemic issues are going to be solved by, you know, a single initiative or even in a single year or in a single decade. I'm sure if you look on, you know, social media platforms like LinkedIn, you know, every second corporate speaks about what they're doing for women, or how women, you know, the hero stories around women, which I think are fantastic. But really what we're trying to do is we're really trying to move it, you know, in an exponential way. So when I look at what, you know, corporates like Visa and Standard Bank do, is that they bring, with their brand and with their global presence, an absolutely essential spotlight to addressing the reality that the challenges, you know, for faced by women and the gender imbalance in entrepreneurship actually exist. And then they're doing something quite tangible about it in the form of, you know, financial support, resources, training, and saying, you know, we have clear objectives, and let's, you know, they're almost being part of the change that they wish to see, not just in a marketing way, but in a real way.
You, as you're speaking about how do we change quite intentionally, look, it's quite sad that you're mentioning the fact that there's still sectors of industry where it's still perceived that a woman in there is still a high risk. For a woman that is listening, a young woman that is in university, that is even thinking about getting into the sector of industry, Delphine, how do you advise them? Because they're going to need a lot of understanding and a lot of thick skin to be able to weather some of those narratives that they've been written, that have been existing for a long period of time.
It's interesting, because a lot of our conversation now has spoken about kind of the environment and the externalities that one faces. And I think the one thing that young women particularly have as their power, as their weapon, is their internal mindset. You know, so what can they do as they arrive in a workplace? What can they do to really have a sense of self-belief? And perhaps one of my personal learnings in this industry that I would share with other women is that the whole nature of the investment industry is that it's about the future, and it's about a probability. It's about, well, how might something turn out. And so what's definitely not available is a pursuit of perfection. I have a 15-year-old daughter, and I often worry that the traditional schooling system, you know, still tries to raise girls to almost pursue perfection, which actually is not available. So my biggest advice for a young woman is to come with a sense of self-belief, because they clearly have the skills, they clearly have the acumen, and come from a growth mindset to shed this desire for perfection, and rather, you know, have a real sense of inner confidence that they can literally conquer an industry no matter what the demographics from a gender perspective look like today. And they have a huge contribution to make as they grow as well. So that internal work, I think, will really set a young woman to really feel that this is a place where she can make a massive difference.
Delphine, what a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you very much for your time. There, Delphine Govender, of course, is a woman fund manager based in Cape Town, owner of Chief Investment Officer at Perpetua Investment Managers. Now, this African Woman Impact Fund conversation was proudly brought to you by Visa.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.